Welcome to Digging Deeper. I'm Jeff Norris, lead pastor of Perimeter Church, joined by my co-host, as always, Laura Story Elvington. Digging Deeper equips you to follow Jesus by exploring the teachings of the Bible and how they intersect with our culture and everyday life.
In this season, we're digging deeper into parenting. Today, we're joined by Jonathan Holmes, who is the founder and executive director of Fieldstone Counseling and also serves as the interim director of the Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation.
Jonathan's wisdom was a great blessing to us in this episode as he shares about two identities that we tend to shape our entire lives around and even our kids as well. So you're going to want to tune in for that.
So don't forget, if you are blessed by this episode, share it with a friend. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to Digging Deeper as we continue in this series that we started just last time in our first episode with this series on parenting. We spoke with Cameron Cole. Today, I'm excited that we get to continue the conversation with Jonathan Holmes. Yay. Jonathan, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jeff and Laura. It's a pleasure.
All right. Tell us, where are you joining from? Where in the U.S. are you?
Yes, I'm in the good old Midwest. I'm in Cleveland, Ohio, and we've had quite a spell of cold weather here recently, but it's been warming up, so we're kind of thawing out and looking forward to spring here.
Yeah, at the time that we're recording this, we too have, it's been cold. Mm-hmm. I was very tired of cold weather. This week has been warmer.
Yes, but you would probably laugh at us because down here in Atlanta, we got, I think, 2 inches. And everyone freaked out.
No, I live in Beaufort.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry.
And we got almost 6 inches, so It was very different there.
Hey, we got 14 where I was during the big spring. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
yeah. That's He's a like, different, oh, different six world. Inches.
That's right. Yep. So all the weather changing, I have a cold, but we're doing this thing. And we're glad you're with us, Jonathan. Let me tell you a little bit about him for the listener, because there's a lot of really awesome things to tell you about Jonathan. He is the founder and executive director of Fieldstone Counseling. He previously served for 15 years on the pastoral teams of Parkside Church and Parkside Green. Some of you may be familiar, probably are familiar with Alistair Begg. Parkside is Alistair's church. So what a joy, I think, I would assume for you to get to work alongside Alistair and vice versa for him as well. Jonathan graduated from the Master's University with degrees in biblical counseling and history, and he earned his MA from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. Additionally, Jonathan is an instructor at Westminster Theological Seminary in the Master of Counseling program. And he is the author and contributor to a number of books, including The Company We Keep, Counsel for Couples, Rescue Skills, and Rescue Plan. One other thing I'll mention is he's also serving right now as the interim executive director of CCF. So this brother is very talented and very used by the Lord. He and his wife, Jennifer, have 4 daughters, and so, man, you got your hands full, not just on the home front, but on the job front, and appreciate all you do, my friend.
Thank you.
Laura, jump in with, let's start talking parenting with Jonathan.
Well, Jonathan, I'm trying not to be too much of a fan right now, but this book, Grounded in Grace, is wonderful.
Yeah,
I loved every bit of it. And to kind of sum it up, the subtitle here, it says, Helping Kids Build Their Identity in Christ. Mm-hmm. So why is that important?
Yeah, great question, Laura. When we think about identity, I think this is probably one of the most, if not the most important question that not only moms and dads have to answer, but that kids need to know, who am I? Who am I? And why am I here? And when I think about parenting, you know, when I look at scripture, we don't get a ton of, you know, how-tos or to-dos about parenting. I mean, if you want to know how to build an ark or build a tabernacle, we've got God for you. When it comes to parenting, right, it seems the main emphasis and focus is the discipleship of our children. It is Deuteronomy 6. We want you to teach and talk to your children about who God is. And so, to me, that's such a privilege. It's a little bit of a relief because we realize so much of parenting is wisdom, in that at the end of the day, my main goal is I want my kids to know Christ and to treasure him above all things. And one of the key ways that we move towards that then is helping them really understand who they are in Christ. And everything really else, I'm convinced everything really else flows out of that. The what and the how flows out of who am I.
That's good. Yeah, you say at the beginning of your book, you identify problems with the identity formation process.
Yeah.
So I'm intrigued by that phrase.
The modern.
Sorry,
kind
I missed
of what the culture would tell us.
That's right. Modern identity formation process. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. You know, for the greater part of human history, the way that identity was formed was really from where you were born, who you were born to, what socioeconomic class you were born into. So, you know, if you grew up in 9th century England and your dad was a farmer, guess what you were going to be when you grew up? You were going to be a farmer. So a lot of your identity for the greater part of human history was preset and it was predetermined. As we kind of inch forward to modernity, that really begins to take a shift. And that identity now, that identity-making process gets placed with the individual. So I say who I am. And the primary way I would say now that we navigate identity is I dig deep into my feelings. I figure it out who it is that I want to be. And I come out to the world and I say, this is who I am. Accept me. And there's no positives in terms of how that can move us away from previous ways that people have formed identity. But there's also a lot of pitfalls and perils to it. Our feelings change a lot, right? Our feelings can change, and our kids' feelings, all of us are parents, our kids' feelings can change in the span of an hour, right? So to root your entire sense of identity in something like that, or even in what you do, there's some significant perils and pitfalls to that.
Oh, that's great. And we're going to get to the I am what I feel paradigm in just a second. But before we get there, you talk in the very beginning of your book about this I am what I do idea, and you give three kind of misplaced identities. So places that kids tend to look for identity in, those three being academics, athletics, and good works. And these are all good things that obviously we want to encourage our kids in. How do we encourage them while still guarding them from placing their identity there?
Which, by the way, real quick, I would say I'm not sure you're on to anything there, Jonathan. I don't identify with any of those three. never struggled with them. Yeah.
That's good. That's good to hear.
Listen, friends, so much of this is written out of my own failures and just lessons to me.
Me too. Gosh, that would be right up my alley, 100%.
Yes. Yep. Yes. You know, I find a lot of kids, and especially even my own kids, what we do very quickly can become the foundation of our identity. And the way I'd like to encourage parents to think about those things, is it good to excel at academics? Is it good to excel in athletics? Of course. But that really is the fruit of who we are and the fruit of how the Lord has gifted us. It's not the foundation, right? The foundation is the Lord comes to us and says, you are made in my image. I am for you. You are mine. And we begin to take, let's say, academic success or how I do on a soccer field or how many baskets I make in a basketball game. Again, those are good things, but you know, the three of us know you would never want to build your entire sense of self-worth on how you perform on an athletic field or what your GPA is or what college you get into. And, you know, I know that personally. All of my kids are involved in school and academics and play a lot of sports. And as a Korean American dad of four girls, I used to put enormous pressure on them academically. And my kids would say, listen, all of my friends' parents, they're okay with B's. And, you know, it's Asian F, you know, B's are Asian F. So we got to get they give me a hard time. And
that's from great.
Right. That I can stress some of the fruit too much at the expense of reminding them at the end of the day about the truth of the gospel, who they are, who God is. And, you know, my wife helpfully reminds me, scripture reminds me, but they're easy traps to fall into for sure.
Mm. It's making me think of the conversation I had just last night with my 17-year-old who she's a junior in high school and she's in the throes of her athletic, season is lacrosse right now. And so she's in the thick of that. She's one of the kind of key players on the team. And so she feels a lot of pressure on that front. But then she's also right in the thick of all the ACT and SAT testing to try to, you know, what can I get my score up to go to the college that I want to go to? And she is just feeling so much stress over the performance athletically and academically right now. And so we were talking about it last night, and I'm telling her things like, hey, you know, sweetie, I of course I want you to care about these things, but they're not what define you. I want you to be able to give everything you have and do it unto the Lord and then trust him with the results. And it, you know, it was one of those things where I'm saying, I think all the right things, but I can also see in her face and even in some of her responses of like, yeah, I hear you, but yeah, it's kind of like this, but it's, that doesn't change anything, right? I still feel the pressure. I still feel the weight. So I guess what the question that, or the thought that I'd love to hear you extrapolate on would be, how would you talk to my daughter? What would you say to her, right? And in being able to help her embrace the reality of, okay, yeah, these things matter. I want you to do it unto the Lord and work hard, but they're not your identity.
How would you
speak that into her?
Well, Jeff, friend, we're in the same boat because I also have a 17-year-old daughter who is preparing for the ACTs. She's not in lacrosse, but she's got some other interests, and you know, we're having probably very similar conversations. Here's my encouragement to parents is repetition. Repetition is the key here. And we know that repetition is important because this is the very way that our Lord comes to us, right? He repeats certain things to us because he knows we're forgetful. And so as often as I can, and as in as many cringe-worthy ways as possible with my kids, I try to remind them, I love you. And no matter how you basketball or no matter what grade you get, your mom and I love you and God loves you as well. And, you know, my three youngest daughters all play competitive basketball. They play AAU in their school, and it's very, very challenging. And I think one of the things that they quickly begin to see is they see sometimes how their friends' parents interact and engage with them about how they do. And they'll hear their parents, you know, yelling at them or, hey, work harder, do this. Mm-hmm. One of my daughters told me, they said, I'm so glad that you guys don't put that pressure on us. I can go out, I can play, and I can enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, my self-worth isn't tied up in my stats. And so the counterpoint to all of this is that a gospel identity is received and not achieved. A gospel identity is received and not achieved. And I borrowed that phrase from Tim Keller, so it's not my own. But, you know, the benefit of that,
so good.
We don't have to do anything to earn God's favor, right? It is a free gift of grace. And in a culture today that screams, listen, you are the architect and captain of your own soul, and you've got to figure all this out, I actually find in a counterintuitive way, the gospel message is so freeing. And it's relieving to realize at the end of the day, I am not responsible for my own sense of self-worth, of purpose, of identity, but I receive that as a gift of God's grace in my life.
That's so good to hear, Jonathan. And I think one of the themes that we, you know, we're just in our second episode, but the, we're already hearing is how important it is to model these beliefs that we're trying to instill in our kids. And I think about that I need to believe that first. I need to believe that I am not what I do. And I need to even maybe talk through some of that. Like when I have a tough time at work, saying to my child, you know, Mommy's trying to remember that I'm not what I do. I'm not the things I accomplish. I'm not measured by my efficiency, you know. Okay, so we're going to move from the I am what I do kind of mindset to the I am what I feel. And I loved your boldness in talking about two hot topics. The topics of gender and sexuality. And obviously this could be an entire episode in and of itself. But tell us, what do we as parents need to know to navigate these topics with our kids?
Yeah. You know, first of all, don't shy away from hard topics like this, right? If you're not going to be the ones to step up and disciple your children in these areas, our culture will be more than happy to do it for you.
Yes.
Do it for free. They're not even going to charge you to do the work at the same. So parents, be encouraged. These are areas that you can move into, right? The movement of conversations related to sexuality and gender, at the root of that, it places the individual's feelings at, you know, really on the throne, really in the control box, as it were, and in the driver's seat. And like we've said earlier, right, we realize and recognize God made us with emotions and feelings, but the illustration I'll use with my kids is emotions and feelings are great passengers, but bad drivers in the car, right? Part of how God made us, but you don't want them driving the car, right? Because our feelings change and they can change in a moment, right? My kids' attitudes can change, you know, for a variety of different reasons. And so culture says, hey, dig deep into your feelings. What do you feel either romantically or what do you feel even gender-wise? And then base your entire reality on that. And what we oftentimes find is culturally, kids and teens and even adults have never had more freedom towards self-expression, which we would think culturally is going to lead to them being happy and flourishing. But frankly, we have never seen more depression, more anxiety, more mental health with our teens and children than at any other recorded point in history. So friends, something's not adding up, right? Our culture is saying, hey, be whoever you want to be, expressive individualism. And we should be seeing then wonderful rates of everybody positively self-expressing themselves, but we don't. We see an epidemic of mental health issues with our teens. And I think it's because of this issue of identity, right? We need to encourage our children to dig into scripture, to listen to God's words about them, and that's going to form a foundation during really stormy seasons. That's going to be what helps them navigate so many of the challenges and complexities that they're going to encounter in school and in life.
Can I ask kind of a follow-up question, and then Jeff, you can jump in here. For the parent whose child is struggling in one of these areas, and wanting to feel accepted and loved unconditionally by the parent, how does the parent navigate trying to guide them in the right direction, but still loving the child where they are?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, maybe a simple way to come at it is I would say affirm in order to challenge. Affirm in order to challenge. So affirm maybe the struggle. Affirm maybe the dissonance. Affirm maybe the peer pressures they're finding. When we affirm, we can begin to build a bridge and build rapport. And then that provides a platform for speaking truth and love. A lot of times I'll have parents, and I do a lot of work in gender and sexuality with parents. A lot of times parents come in, they either get scared or they want to, you know, slam their fist down on the table and say, you know, taking away your phone, you're never going outside of this house again, you know, case closed.
Yeah.
And that shuts down rather than open up conversations. So affirm in order to challenge. Say, hey, tell me a little bit more about this pressure. Tell me a little bit more about why you're thinking this. Tell me a little bit more about why you want to do this or see this person. And then listen, seek understanding. But friends, don't be afraid to speak truth in love. That is critical. Mm-hmm. We're not loving well if we're not going to communicate God's design and God's plan for them.
That's so good.
Jonathan, maybe zooming out, not just in this particular area with, you know, gender and sexuality and I am what I feel, and but kind of the whole conversation that we're having here about parenting and discipling our kids and helping our kids root their identity in Christ and in the gospel and not in what they do or what they feel. What's at stake if we're not, and ultimately God is the one who does the work in the heart of our kids, right? And so I don't want to put undue pressure on parents listening to this, but also want to press in and say, okay, what is at stake for our kids if we're not taking those steps of faith to disciple our children?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, anybody who's listening to this, what I wouldn't want them to hear is, oh, this all rests on my shoulders, right? Like that immense amount of responsibility. There is a responsibility, but, you know, like we've said earlier, ultimately we entrust the results to the Lord. We seek to be faithful where we can. And you know, one of the things I would tell parents is, you know, sociologically, we know that the most formative voices in childhood tend to be a parent's voice, right? Your voice is going to be the loudest one that they hear. But that decreases over time, right? Especially into adolescence, they start listening to other voices. So how can your voice incarnate and embody the voice of Christ in their life, right? How can we speak things to them that are true and that are right, words that are going to bring life and not death? And I think a lot of times parents don't realize that that doesn't happen just through formative teaching, right? It happens through everyday conversations. It happens after a breakup. It happens after that loss on the basketball court. It happens in the carpool ride to the friend's birthday party. And in whatever way I can bring the truth of who the Lord is and what he has said about you into conversation, I want to do that because you are going to be one of the most formative voices in that child's life. So take advantage of that opportunity as early as you can.
Hmm. Oh, that's so good. I was thinking about just this idea of, speaking up.
Yeah.
Speaking up when we need to speak up. Being the parent when we need to be the parent. One of my kids, I'll just say one of my kids. I think yesterday I was telling them, like, we're going to your brother's basketball game. And this one child said, I am not going to his basketball game. And then another child said, I get front seat. And the very same child that had just said, there's no way I'm going to, she goes, sorry.
She, uh-oh.
Yeah, I have three sons and one daughter.
Now we know.
Yeah. She says, well, I got the front seat. And she runs it. And, you know, so we have like, I am not going, but I am definitely sitting in the front seat when I go. You know, and I realize there's just so, she's 13 and she is delightful, but so much going on.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I'm sure that's a very small example of the fact that our kids, sometimes they can't even process what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they can't even process what they feel. Yeah. And for us as parents to think that we're loving them by allowing them to navigate it on their own.
Yeah.
And just accept whatever outcome they come up with. What you say right here, we aren't loving well if we aren't communicating to them God's design.
Mm.
And yeah. I love this idea of us loving them well by giving them some of these structures that they need when they're really, their minds aren't even formed enough to know what they really feel or what they really want.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah, so helpful. Jonathan, I'm thinking about the parent listening who, and we're only on episode two here of a numerous week. What are we doing? Eight of these? Nine?
Yes. Eight with a bonus episode.
Okay. So I think at least our plan right now is that we'll wrap up each of our episodes with a similar question, if not same, to each of our guests. And so I want to throw this one at you, Jonathan. For the parent that feels like, oh man, I'm so failing at parenting and I'm not at all doing what we're talking about here. I'm not discipling my kids well. I'm not pressing the gospel into their heart. I'm really letting the culture shape them, you know, whatever it may be. What's some encouragement you have for them or even a step,
yes,
one action step they can take?
Yes. You know, we all probably find ourselves in this spot. And what I would tell parents who are feeling that sense of failure or neediness or I've not done enough is, friend, this is the very person that our Lord draws near to. He is drawn and his heart is for people who are needy, who are weak, who feel like failures. We have a Savior who came to seek and to save the lost, not the people who have it all together. And so if you're in that boat, the gospel then is for you. Right. And so the action point, and I tell people this at parenting conferences, marriage conferences, if you leave here today thinking of, okay, I've got to pull myself up by my own bootstraps and figure this out, that's the wrong message. The message is we come to the Lord and we cry out. We say, Lord, help. Lord, help.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the prayer for a parent today listening to this podcast is you pause what you're doing. You go before the Lord and you say, Lord, I am weak and needy. I'm dropping the ball. I feel like a failure. Help me. And what we know to be true about the Lord is he is privileged to come and to be a help to us. That is one of the premier ways he shows up in Scripture. And so when we ask, the Lord is there, eager and willing to give us help, to give us wisdom from above, and to know that you are not alone in this journey.
Mm. you know, I know that we're going to have both Grounded in Grace as well as many of your other resources in our show notes.
Thank you.
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah, absolutely.
You talked about, you know, you're not alone. Obviously, the Lord is with us in our parenting. Can you say a brief word about counseling?
Yeah.
Like, what role does counseling play in the family? I think some people may have grown up in an era where things have to be really bad in order for someone, or if you go to counseling, it's there's kind of a stigma about it. Yeah. What could you tell us about how it could be a help to some families?
One of the beautiful things I love about the local church, especially, is the ability for my kids to not just hear my wife and I's voice, but to hear the voices of many others who also love the Lord and are pursuing Him, not perfectly, but progressively. And I see counseling as simply another expression of that. It's another wraparound service of care. And so a lot of times, like when I talk to parents about counseling, you don't have to be at rock bottom. You don't need to be at a crisis point to see good, godly, biblical Christian counseling. It's simply another way to say, hey, there might be another angle, there might be another approach that my son or daughter could benefit from hearing. And sometimes it can be that alternative voice that the Lord uses in the life of your child. So yeah, counseling, you know, can hold a lot of stigma for a lot of people. I'm encouraged to see the ways that local churches are embracing biblical and Christian counseling for their parishioners. And so, yeah, if that's, you know, somewhere where you find yourself, where you feel like maybe the complexity or some of the dynamics of what you're experiencing with your child, you just need a phone a friend type of situation, you know, counseling can be a wonderful avenue to get some of that additional help with your child.
That's great.
Great time to say, hey, if you're here local around the Atlanta area, Jonathan was actually a huge part in helping our team here with Caleb Martin and others get our counseling department at Perimeter, our counseling ministry here at Perimeter going. As I mentioned at the top of our time here, Jonathan is the founder and executive director of Fieldstone Counseling. And Fieldstone is who we reached out to for a lot of wisdom and advice on how to begin to do counseling in a church context. And brother, you were such a massive part of helping us see that become a reality here. And now hundreds of people are benefiting from that. Mm-hmm. And so we want to say thank you. And you may be listening to this and not know, maybe you didn't even realize that we had a counseling ministry here at Perimeter. We'd love for you to be a part of that. Let us serve you in that way. In a roundabout way, it's a part of Jonathan's ministry as well. So thank you, brother. And thank you for taking the time be with us and give us some good, helpful insights and perspectives on parenting in this modern age. And I think those two things, I mean, the things I'm going to walk away with, that you and get the book, Grounded in Grace. We want to define ourselves by I am what I do and I am what I feel, and neither are true.
Yeah,
we are who we are in Christ, and being able to lead our kids into that same reality is so critical. So, thank you. Thanks for spending time with us, and for the listener and watcher, if you're watching on YouTube, thank you for tuning in. We'll continue these conversations with more guests to come. Who do we have coming up in episode three?
We have Joey Odom, who's going to talk to us about our relationships with technology, specifically our smartphones.
So, awesome.
I don't know if you need to be
yet
looking
again,
forward to that or
you know,
not.
I mean, none of these things have I really ever struggled with. It's kind of crazy. Like, you know, academics, athletics, good works, smartphones. I mean, I'm glad these are all helpful for
exactly,
you and for
yes.
those listening. So anyway, tune in next time. We'll see you then.